He may have bookselling in his blood, but Len Riggio, founder of the Barnes & Noble bookstore chain, now has a lot less of it in his stock portfolio. Welcome to Copyright Clearance Center's podcast series. My name is Christopher Keneally for Beyond the Book. The reported stock sale is sufficiently substantial to dampen rumors that Riggio plans to take B&N private. With the details on this story and developments from court cases involving Google and Apple, we turn to Andrew Albany, senior writer of Publishers Weekly, for his weekly look at the book business headlines. Welcome back, Andrew.
Greetings, Chris.
Well, we'll start with the court cases. You always have the latest news on all of those, and it's been a busy week. First of all, in the Google book scanning case, which people will be familiar with, we've been following it now for nearly 10 years, there is some news.
That's right. A week ago, just as we last wrapped up our last chat, we learned that the Authors Guild has in fact filed an appeal seeking to overturn Denny Chin's summary judgment in the Google Library book scanning case. Now, next week, I'll be taking a closer look at that appeal, and you can read all about the appeal on the PW website. But I have two impressions I can share with you right now. The first is, of course they appealed. they almost had to, and the timing is hardly an accident. The Authors Guild, you recall, also recently submitted testimony to Congress on any potential copyright update. So this gives them another shot of juice for their message. And that message is essentially that authors deserve to have more control over their works. And that's exactly what you'd expect from the Authors Guild, or really from a guild of any kind. But on the merits, I think that the appeal the Authors Guild is putting forward is really quite lacking, and I'm not sure that it's even going to make it to the bench. Now, remember that the Second Circuit has already heard arguments in the Authors Guild's parallel case against Google's library scanning partners. That's the HathiTrust. How that is decided will likely impact the fate of this appeal. Now, when it comes to this appeal, the Guild's main argument remains that Google is basically a commercial venture. Not even basically. Google is a commercial venture. But really, commercial, just because it's commercial, in no way precludes them from making fair use. And the fair use findings in both Judge Chin's and Judge Baer's rulings have, you'll recall, substantially weighed in favor of Google so far. But here's the most interesting part of the whole appeal story to me. And that's that, the Guild's claim that Judge Chin was sort of initially critical of Google scanning while he was weighing the class action certification, and that now suddenly he's fine with it when it comes to the summary judgment. And I think that's, shall we say, a pretty generous interpretation by Guild lawyers. In fact, all Chin did previously was acknowledge a fact. And that fact is that, yes, Google scanned books without permission. But remember, just because you don't have permission to scan something or use something doesn't mean that the use is automatically illegal. And that's what fair use is for. Right? It's an affirmative defense, as we've discussed many times on this show. And the fact is that Chin had not looked at the fair use question. And that's why I find the Guild statement especially curious. Because the Second Circuit had actually spiked the Authors Guild's class action certification for exactly that reason, explicitly because Chin had never looked at the fair use issue. Well, he's looked at it now, and now the Second Circuit is going to look at it as well.
Well, and you just looked at it and did a terrific job of analyzing it there, Your Honor.
Thank you.
I think we talk about court enough, I could almost call you Judge Albanese at this point. Okay, we've got some news developments in the Apple case as well. Talk about those.
That's right, developments in that case as well. This week, it became official. We have a new date for a damages trial for Apple, and that is July 14th. And also this week, the judge dismissed Apple's bid to toss the state's class action damages claim. Now, you'll remember, I'm sure we had talked about it on this program, but back in November of last year, Apple had argued that the states actually lacked legal standing to bring a damages action. In her ruling, as was largely expected, Judge Coate disagreed and paved the way for the case to go forward. I think the question now is, are we going to make it to that July 14th trial? A stay motion is still out there to be ruled upon, so the case could be stayed at any point. And there's also a question of jurisdiction. Apple has asked that the case actually be moved back to its original jurisdictions, which is California for the consumer class and Texas for the state action. And there's also a summary judgment motion out there as well. But suffice it to say that recent events show that Judge Coate is beginning to clear out all the many motions that are outstanding, and we are now chugging toward a conclusion in Apple's damages phase. And one more thing, too. I think Apple now knows that they're pretty much, the Judge Code is pretty much determined to see them pay damages. And throwing out their latest motion, she made a specific note in her ruling that there was actual concrete harm here and that this is not theoretical harm. This is concrete harm. So I think Apple sees the writing on the wall that they are indeed going to be hit with something unless the appeals court steps in. And of course, those appeals are still looming. So stay tuned for developments there.
Indeed, we will. And that brings to the to a conclusion the legal portion of our program. But now let's turn to the stock report, because we've got some news that Barnes & Noble founder and chairman Len Riggio has reduced his stake in the chain. What does that mean, and what has he done?
It just keeps getting more interesting for Barnes & Noble. And this week we learned that Len Riggio has sold 3.7 million shares of Barnes & Noble stock, and that dropped his stake in the company down to about 20%. He remains Barnes & Noble's largest stakeholder, but the sale definitely decreases the chance, if not eliminates them altogether, that Riggio is going to mount an effort to take Barnes & Noble stores private. And that's a move that we had talked about here before and has been speculated about and really has gained some momentum, especially earlier this month when Liberty Media sold most of its holdings in the company. Barnes & Noble officials say that the sale of shares is just part of Riggio's long-term financial and estate planning. And Riggio himself put out a statement saying that he loves the company very much and he's still the largest shareholder. But nevertheless, the stock tumbled a bit after the sell-off, as you can imagine. And we're going to keep an eye on this for sure. You know, suffice it to say, the move certainly raises some key questions about the future of BNN. Even though BNN officials right now are standing by their statement that, you know, this is just estate planning, and indeed the kind of estate planning that any 72-year-old man like Riggio might do.
Indeed. And, you know, let's finally get to the books part of this book report here, because we have some library news to talk about books that haven't been in our libraries recently.
That's true. This week, the American Library Association released its State of America Libraries report, which featured, among other things, its very popular list of the most challenged books in libraries across the country. And topping the list this year is that book Captain Underpants. You may have heard of it. It's a children's book, but, you know, well, let's not even go there. I think when it comes to Captain Underpants, that some people have a little too much time on their hands and probably should just, you know, not be going to the library at all if they're going to complain about this. But more notably, the report cites that a school library funding crisis is beginning to take hold, is really taking hold, actually. And, you know, I think this is dead serious and really needs to be paid attention to. You know, despite all the positive news we've heard from the Pew Foundation about how much people love their libraries this year, the data shows that school libraries are really getting hit hard. And you might recall last week in London, or 2 weeks ago, I forgot, when was I in London, Chris? Was it last week?
it was like the week before that.
Anthony Horowitz said in his London Book Fair talk that if you don't consecrate readers at a young age, you're going to pay the price later. And I think that's very true. And I can think, you know, that this report shows that there really is a crisis unfolding in our schools. And so you can read the entire report on the ALA website, and I recommend it. But on a more upbeat note, in Monday's issue, our library columnist Brian Kenny has a really wonderful piece on his role on the ALA's committee to pick the winners of the Carnegie Medals. Our listeners probably know that that's the ALA's relatively new adult book awards. It's an especially interesting reading coming on the heels of the Pulitzer Prizes, which were announced just this week. And going into its third year, I think the Carnegie Medals are beginning to reflect a little bit of personality of their own. So anyway, it's a great read from Brian Kenny about some great reads, and you can read it in Monday's issue of Publishers Weekly.
Indeed, we will. And of course, awards like that do great things for book sales. So thank you for that report. Andrew Albany, senior writer at Publishers Weekly.
My pleasure, Chris.
Beyond the Book is produced by Copyright Clearance Center, a global rights broker for the world's most sought-after materials, including millions of books and ebooks, journals, newspapers, magazines, and blogs, as well as images, movies, and television shows. You can follow Beyond the Book on Twitter, find us on Facebook, and subscribe to the free podcast series on iTunes or at the Copyright Clearance Center website, copyright.com. Just click on Beyond the Book. Our engineer is Jeremy Brisky of Burst Marketing. My name is Christopher Keneally. For all of us at Copyright Clearance Center, thanks for listening to Beyond the Book.